Hey, this is Nathan Jenkins from Loon Mountain Ministry, and I want to thank you for checking out our podcast today. We welcome you to join us, the trees, the rocks, and all of creation as we worship our great God. Enjoy the message.
Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, so if you can turn to the front of your bulletin. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there, puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. "He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee." And he said, "Yes. It was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent." This is the word of God.
All right, if you are a frequent flyer and you were at the service this morning, this is going to be sermon 2.0 for you here. So if you fall asleep, that's okay. All right, and a lot of my analogies this morning were for ski resort areas. So hopefully you ski resort areas, not folk, we'll get it, but we'll get there. All right, so this is what I started talking about. You guys will understand this, right? So, and I talked about this morning. Have you ever been in a line of traffic where you're just sitting there and it's super frustrating and the music has now no longer like made it okay? Like it's just really frustrating and you're sitting there and you're sitting there. And then as the line moves, you're kind of wondering, why is this this way, right? And then you get up there and there's a closed lane and then you drive by the whole closed lane and there's no reason why the lane is closed. Do you get frustrated? I get so frustrated. I'm like, why is that lane closed? Like, open it up, right? The other thing we're talking about, this happens a lot actually at this coffee shop. We have our staff meeting over there. We don't have it there anymore now that we opened into a coffee shop. We have it in my office because we're a sleep-in coffee shop. We don't open until 10 o'clock, which is kind of weird for a coffee shop. But it works out really well because we stay open until 5:30, and there's a ton of coffee shops in this town that close at 1. So people come in at 1 and to 5:30 at night, and they love it. But if we have staff meeting over there, if there's any light on at all in here, even if there's no light on at all and people are walking around in here, people start coming into this, you know, this because they see Thrift and Coffee out on Main Street and they start coming in and trying to do the doors. And we try to be nice and open the door and be like, "You should go down the road." They're like, "No, I don't want to. I want to come in here and you're in there. So how come I can't be in there?" Like, well, we're staff. If you'd like to come and be in staff meeting, we got a lot of chairs to set up on Sunday. But anyway, as you ever come up to a coffee shop or a restaurant that you've like got all excited and loaded all the kids in the car and you got to the restaurant and it's closed on Tuesdays? Have you ever had that? Have any of you loaded up all of your trash into your car or your truck on a Wednesday in this town? And on, yeah, I have definitely showed up at the you too, Grammy. I have showed up at that transfer station all excited to get a lot of things done. And it's Wednesday. Yep. All right. Loaded all this. Then you're like, is it going to rain? Is it going to not? Is the raccoon active? Is he not? Are the bears out? I'm just leaving this out in my truck. And if the bears take it to the neighbors, then it's the neighbor's problem. Is the sun hot? Is it going to bake on this stuff? Anyway. So that happens to me sometimes. This happened a couple weeks ago. We go up to Sugarloaf a lot. And Sugarloaf's one of those mountains that is super exposed. And you can book two nights, because if you go to Sugarloaf, you might as well stay two nights. Will, I'm sure this has happened to you before. But you get all the way up to Sugarloaf. They might even have the most incredible snow just sitting right there. And then it is so windy for 2 days, the lifts never open. like literally never open. Like I was there 2 weeks ago and you could not get out of your car. Because either if you were facing into the wind, you couldn't open the door. Or if you were facing away from the wind, which was worse, the door would open, then rip off and hit the person in front of you in the car. It was that bad. So they were not opening. So you go to Sugarloaf, which is, you know, like 3-4 hour drive. You line up everything. Well, Abishay and I were up there a couple weeks ago for her race on Thursday and her race on Friday. Neither happened, right? Yesterday, Sugarloaf didn't open. They had all that snow last week. They had an avalanche there because of all the wind load snow. So that's, we call that getting Sugarloafed. Like I got Sugarloafed. Drove 8 hours, didn't ski, did stop at 3 or 4 donkeys on the way up and down. I got Sugarloafed. Anyway, that happens. Or if you're a skier, a snowboarder, and your favorite trail, or you're really excited and you're not sure why, but the rope is across your favorite trail. At resorts, they put ropes across when they say the trail is closed for whatever reason, okay? Well, I want to do this. I want to say I'm so, so sorry. I want to apologize. I kind of work for the church. I kind of represent the church kind of in my position. The church has put up a lot of ropes. The church has put up a lot of cones. Church has closed a lot of lanes for all kinds of different reasons. Some are above my pay grade, and some are probably legit, and some of them are not legit. All kinds of reasons, right? And I don't want to say I'm sorry, right? I was talking the other day. I read a book called Blue Like Jazz. Blue Like Jazz is a memoir of this guy who wrote a book about his life. And he was a marginal Christian at best when he went off to college, and he went off into that big world, right, where like a lot of people don't believe in God, and he was like, whoa, this is crazy. And his college was so nutso, that they did this one weekend every year where they shut the campus down, and they would surround the entire campus with the local town police department. Nobody could come onto the campus, and nobody could come off the campus. If you were within that police barricade, whatever happened in those 3 days went. Whatever happened. Whatever drug use, whatever crazy thing you could think about, whatever happened, happened on that college campus. Well, obviously, as a freshman, as a young Christian, that was wild. He was like, that was insane. Well, the next year, he felt called by God, and I think this is really cool. On the football field during this crazy weekend, he set up a confession booth. He literally set up a confessional booth, and he sat on the side of the priest. And what was crazy, he put a sign out and said, please come in and tell us any way that the church has hurt you, any way that you've been hurt by a Christian. And at first, I think people looked at it and was like, well, this is ridiculous. This is weird. Like, I don't, what are you doing? But one by one, they began to get into the confession booth, and they began to explain to this guy how the church had hurt them, or how a Christian had hurt them. By the second day, there was a 2 to 3 hour wait to get in the booth. By the third day, the line went out the football field and beyond, to the point where campus security like, is what kind of drug are they selling in that booth? They wanted to know like what is happening in that booth. And what they found out was everyone's just telling this guy. And it got so hard that his other Christian friends had to join him because he obviously couldn't be there 24 hours a day. And so his other Christian friends joined him. And they would sit in for him when he would go take a nap or whatever. And it's just, that's the world. It's from day one. Because you know why the church hurts people? Because the church is full of people. We're just people. We're just humans. Me. You hang out here long enough, I'll hurt you. Just ask my wife. You know, I hope it's only physical, but it might be worse. Maybe I just step on your toe or elbow you or knock your coffee out of your hand. That would just be the best part. But I might also say something dumb because my mouth runs a lot, or I might do something without thinking about you, and that's not cool, right? So anyway, we are used to life with a lot of closed lanes, a lot of ropes, like, you know, sectioning off trails. But we read from Luke chapter 24 today that Jesus rolled the stone away. God rolled the stone away. Jesus tore the veil in the church, in the temple, from top to bottom. He has made a way. He has opened the lane. He has opened the store. He has rolled the stone away. He has torn the veil that separates us from God, and he has dropped the rope, right? in ski resort language, he has dropped the rope. And if you've ever, ever been to a ski resort, and if you've ever been to a ski resort that has had fresh snow, and you happen to be the one who is standing at the top when ski patrol comes and drops a rope, oh, I mean, there's no better feeling than that, right? There's no better feeling than that. I actually remember one time I was working at Loon when I first moved here. I was the manager of the resort host department. And it was one of those things where I worked every Saturday and everyone visits us on Saturday. And it was like a pow day on a Saturday. And I'm like, oh, man, I got to run staff meeting. And then I got to stand in the parking lot and watch all of these buses come by, you know. And some of my friends were in town. So my friends were like, come on. Like, come out with us. It's so amazing. I'm like, well, let me just get my staff in the right place. And sure enough, like, you know, 7:30, I get all the staff in the right place. And I start, you know, my friends have done a couple laps. And they're texting me, it's amazing out here. Like, dude, just come out and do one or two runs with us. Come on. I'm like, okay, all right. I got everyone where they're supposed to be. It's 9 o'clock. Everything's good. I'll ditch my Loon jacket, put on a different jacket, as if I can change what I look like with a different jacket, but I tried. I put a different jacket on, and I was like, got my snowboard, and I was like, all right, go by everybody, quick, get on the look. So now we're over in line at the North Peak chair, and I looked like three people in front of us is the general manager, the ops director, and the vice president of marketing, and they're all sitting there in their own incognito jackets, and I'm like, holy cow, what am I doing? So I'm just kind of like, inching along on my snowboard, trying to get on the North Peak chair. We're coming up the North Peak chair, which goes over Flume. I'm not kidding you, this totally happened. I'm like, oh my word. They're like two chairs ahead of me, right? We're going up the head wall of Flume, and my friends from patrol start coming down, and they see me. I don't have my jacket on. How the heck? They stop. They're like, Marcus, hey, Marcus, we just dropped the rope on Flume, bro. It's amazing. And I'm like, oh, my word. My bosses are like two chairs in front of me, and this patroller is screaming my name across the whole mountain. Go to Flume. But it is an incredible feeling when the rope is dropped. And I've also been on the North Peak chair before when I've been sitting there going up, and I'm not the first chair. Like, there's people in front of me, and they just come zipping off, and they start skiing Flume, which is right under. And, man, that is worship. That is 100% worship. Like, when spontaneous, like, absolute eruptions of joy come out of you and you have no reason why, when you are skiing powder and you're like, yep, whoo, ha, yeah, whoo, yeah, buddy. Like, you just hear all these people. You don't know them at all. And you all are agreeing, this is amazing. Like, that is worship. That is worship. That's what it is to do towards God. If we like spontaneously erupt into like, yeah, man, God is good. Yeah, this is awesome. Woo, you know, that is what worship is. And so dropping the rope is absolutely incredible. And that's what we get to do. We have free access to God. We have now, because of Jesus' sacrifice, a dropped rope, an open door, an open lane, however you want to say it. And what's so sad is here is how he does it. This isn't so sad how he does it, but it's so sad what the church has done. I'll tell you in a minute, but the most famous verse in Scripture, John 3:16, right? It's in every end zone in the NFL. It's probably at March Madness somewhere right now. Stinking Tim Tebow put it on his eye black. Do you guys remember that when he played in the NCAA football championship? He put it on his eye black, and I forget how many people Googled John 3:16 that night, but Google kept track, and it was a lot, like 300,000 or some crazy number, Googled John 3:16 because of Tim Tebow's eye black. But anyway, John 3:16 says this, that God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever comes to him, whoever believes in him, will not perish but have everlasting life. See, that's God dropping the rope by Jesus committing his life. Jesus committed his life. God chose to love the world. It dropped the rope. But now the next verse is what I think a lot of us in the church definitely botch. We don't get this. It says this in John 3:17, that Jesus did not come to the world to condemn it, but to save it. And we as Christian, me first and foremost guilty, the church, we just get off on condemning people. It just makes us feel better about ourselves or makes us feel safe. I'm not sure what the deal is. We love creating these teams, who's in, who's out. And my dad made this really good point when we were hiking the Appalachian Trail. So we're hiking the Appalachian Trail, and down in the south, I think everyone has a John 3:16 tattoo. I think it's just kind of how it goes. Like, everyone's Christians down there, right? And it was crazy. We're walking along this field in Virginia, and there was a huge red barn that says John 3:16, right? It says John 3:16. And at the front of the driveway, it said private property. Literally, it said private property, no trespassing. And my dad made this incredible point. He's sitting there looking at this barn that said John 3:16, and then this sign that said private property. And my dad, who's got great analogies, like, I don't think John 3:16 is private property. I think actually John 3:16, it should say public way. This way, public way, the way. And we do that as Christians. We make the gospel, we make the good news of Jesus Christ, we make the hope of Easter, this exclusive group, this private property, no trespassing. You must behave this certain way. You must believe this certain thing, and then you can belong. But we see in Jesus' life what he did to people while he was on earth. He made them feel like they belong. Then he told them, you should believe. And then he said, now go and behave. But we as the church, we love to flip it. We go, okay, well, if you behave, then we'll let you believe. And if you believe, well, then I guess if you sign here and give us this much money a month, you can belong, right? Sign here for $9.99 a month and you can belong. We do that. Jesus says, I did not come to the world to condemn it, but I come to save it. This is how he did it. This is great. Mark 15:37-39. Then Jesus uttered another loud cry, and he breathed his last breath. And the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two. That's what the veil was that separated us and God. The priests were the only ones allowed to go in the presence of God. It's not true anymore. I'm not the only one that can do that. Please don't make me the only one that can do that for you. It's not how this works. The veil was torn, and it was torn very, very specifically, top to bottom. Do you know why God tore the veil top to bottom? To remind me and you, we couldn't do anything to tear that veil. God had to do it. He had to come down to humanity, and he had to tear that veil from top to bottom, because it's not your works, it's not my works. It's Jesus' work on the cross that tore the veil, that dropped the rope, that moved the stone, that you and I and all who ever lived and all who ever will live, for those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. For everyone that confesses with their mouth and believes in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, they will be saved. This is the good news that anyone that repents, I told them this mountain this morning, that repent is actually a ski and snowboard term. Did you know that? It's called a 180. That's what it is. Repent is just a 180. Just admitting that your way is not the way, and then you flip a 180 and admit that God's way is the way. That all who repent, forgiveness is for them. And Luke 24 says that we are now part of a generation that will proclaim that forever and ever and ever and ever. That's what Easter is all about. The Jesus way, following God. Now, God is a father who doesn't make his kids do what he wants them to do. He's a good dad, and he lets us make our own decisions. So you and I can choose to go on the trail called the God way, the God relationship, or we can choose not to. He's not going to make us. But that's the beauty of Easter, that there is no barrier, there is no thing that you have to do or be or behave. Jesus took all that. You just accept the free gift of eternal life. So beautiful. That's what Jesus did on Easter.
Thanks for listening. We here at Loon Mountain Ministry are committed to loving God, serving community, and enjoying mountains. We want to thank you for being a part of our collective high five this week as we seek to be a light in the White Mountains and all around the world. Please feel free to reach out to us at info@loonmtnministry.com so we can get more connected. See you guys.